May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Entering the, or here we are on the third Sunday of Advent, as we continue on towards the events of Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. The gospel text for this Sunday in the lectionary is from the Gospel of John, speaking of John the Baptist. Chapter 1, I would read actually verses 6 through 8 and then verse 19 through 28. So the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6, the following in Jesus' name. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who art thou?" He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And so they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who art thou, that thou mayest give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself, or what sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And so they asked him, and said to him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" Jesus answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you, whom you do not know. He it is who comes after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloosen. These things were done in Bethany, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Amen. Preparation for Christmas. Consideration of the message of Scripture. Consider the timeless message of the herald of Jesus Christ, and then the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. When someone heralds an event or someone provides witness to, it tells of something that is coming. I think it's important for us to make a distinction this morning between how the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk of the forerunner to Jesus Christ being John the Baptist, whereas the gospel of John talks of John the Baptist being the witness to and the confessor of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Note in the text as we consider it in verse 7 of chapter 1. Beginning with verse 6, it talks, "The man was sent from God whose name was John." The Gospel of John doesn't designate him as John the Baptist, designates him as John. "And the same came for a witness," note the word witness, "to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, was sent to bear witness." So here we have two verses, or in three verses, the word witness twice. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word witness really doesn't come into focus until last chapters or last waiting chapters in the Gospel of Mark, where the centurion bear witness to this man that he was of God. And so it's very different to be a forerunner, somebody that came before, but not necessarily bearing witness to someone that is coming after. Because Jesus Christ was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was the beginning with God, as we know earlier in chapter 1. Seems like I'm going backwards here. John the Baptist brought the Word, brought the witness to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. If we go back in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, this whole angelic being thing that is a part of the Christmas story, a part of the Christmas events, which we sing, "Angels from the Realm of Glory," or "Hark the Herald, Angels Sing." Or they sang glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There were Zechariah, his wife, Elizabeth, having no children, well stricken in age, continuing to discharge their duties faithfully in his priest's office before God in the order of his course, Luke chapter 1, verse 8. And there appeared unto him, verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, same angel Gabriel that pronounced to Mary that she was to bear the Savior of humankind. Zechariah, unexpecting this pronouncement, unexpecting this vision of this angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Where are we heading with this? This is the pronouncement of the miraculous conception, a different way, of John the Baptist, the very man of whom our text speaks this morning. The angel told Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, fear not, for your prayer is heard, and thy wife shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Very much an unusual pronouncement and conception and occurrence in the elder years of Elizabeth and Zechariah that they should have a son. And even his name was unusual because generally there was a family name that was included or was used when a child is born, especially in old age, to carry on the lineage and the name of the family. But the angel told him, you shall call his name John. Your wife shall bear a son, et shall, and thou shalt, and there will be many, who rejoice at his birth with joy and gladness. Oftentimes, two themes of Christmas, isn't it? Time of rejoicing, a time of joy, a time of gladness, a time of resting from the weariness that life does bring, the stresses that life does sometimes have in the course of our experience here. And Zechariah was incredulous at this pronouncement. Verse 18, said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man, my wife well stricken in years." In a very natural way, in the course of events, can't happen. But you know, in God's timing, in God's way, things can happen that are outside of what we might see as a normal course of events. Angelic beings were very much a part of Scripture. Caring for safe passage in the Old Testament, providing, you know, the angel of safety, guardian angels, as we might call it today, when something transpires where we avoid something catastrophic. And the angel came and told Zechariah that his wife and he would have a son, his name would be John. And so when Zechariah came out, he wasn't able to speak. I think some things leave us speechless too in life, don't they? Can't say anything, just like we're stunned at what we have heard or what we have seen. And here Zechariah is incredulous and was unable to speak. They perceived he'd seen a vision. He beckoned them, making signs, but remained speechless. And so Elizabeth has a son, as John the Baptist say, cousin to Jesus the Christ. Talk about that later. But we have this event where now John the Baptist is in full motion in our text. The record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Preparing the way, bearing witness to, not just a forerunner, but bearing witness to. Remember, by all standard assessments of behavior and character, as oftentimes we consider, we might categorize him as being eccentric. maybe personally needing some help, right? But he came with a very specific purpose to say, Jesus is coming and I bear witness to him as the Messiah. Maybe the message to us here, as these men were sent to ask John who he is, that be sure of who we follow. Maybe sometimes we need to, in the course of life and in the course of even natural events in our nation, in the course of history, we need to be sure who we support and who we follow. Know the real thing. Know truth from fiction, fact from wrong, right from wrong, truth from error. Heralding the Messiah. This is really the first point of convergence in the New Testament, where we have the life of Jesus Christ, the life of John the Baptist, suddenly converging when Jesus goes to be baptized him of the River Jordan, which is part of text down the road from here in the church calendar. But Advent is a time to prepare the way of the Lord. Today, we're preparing our lives. We ought to be preparing our lives and our families and our homes for the celebration of Christmas. And we do it in different ways. We think of things that are common to our families that we have developed over the years, our individual family, our extended family. Years ago, we used to write letters, Christmas cards, things were sent. Today, a lot of it's done by email or by texting or by electronics rather than sending it out by postage, U.S. Post, Canadian Post, Swedish Post, wherever. We do it differently. I can remember as a child, Christmas brings a point of reflection too, doesn't it? We think back, what did we do, or what was done in the home we grew up in to celebrate Christmas or to prepare for Christmas? I can remember growing up, our dining room table was filled with stuff. Letters, Christmas cards. My mother would sit there and write cards back to Europe and Scandinavia, to family and friends scattered across the world. There were things to be wrapped and presents to be sent out. And that was a time of, I don't want to use the word frantic, but it was a time of preparation, of getting things done because Christmas was going to come. Everybody's house does it differently. We do differently in our house today than we did in the house that I grew up in. Everybody's house here probably does it somewhat differently. But the whole message and focus is once we come together at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Messiah. A perfect gift. The gift of salvation. The gift of a child. Think of the responsibility Mary and Joseph would have with that child. For all the mothers here, they know the responsibility and they know what takes place in the care of a newborn infant and a newborn child. And thus John heralds the Messiah, and he was born 6 months roughly before the Lord, and so he is roughly the same age as the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. But John had a very specific responsibility, didn't he? Opening the eyes of the people, for one thing, as they ask him, who are you? Who art thou? John was very honest, confessed, denied not, but he said, I'm not the Christ. He could have well claimed that. But he said, I am not the Christ. Interesting that as this takes place, there's still this rejection mode or this philosophy, thinking that, well, this is going to supplant what we've got going here among the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes of that time. And so they ask him, who are you then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He said, no. He came in completion. He was the last one who heralded the prophecy of the Messiah. Messiah was there. But he's opening the eyes of the people to see the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, John's ministry once Jesus Christ was baptized in the River Jordan was very short. Those that followed him were pointed to follow the Lord, followed Jesus the Christ. Listen to, John probably was a very powerful preacher by standards as we might think of it. Think back over the course of our lives, those that we've listened to and heard from, whether it be on the internet today or on radio or online or by audio tape, some or in person, some very powerful messengers of the gospel and preachers of the word. But opening the eyes of the people, that's part of our responsibility to the church today, to open the eyes of the people to hear or to see and the ears to hear the gospel, which tells them of a better way. Brings order to disorder. There's a lot of disorder in the time of the Lord. There were a lot of scattered thinking. There's disorder today, bringing people back to focus upon following Jesus the Christ. Brings order to lives. Brings order to that which was once was sin. Now it's put aside, and there's order in the forgiveness that is available and given in the gospel message and that we partake of in the Lord's Supper. And it happens by what? By preaching, by speaking. It happens by our one-on-one conversation and witness and sharing, whether it be in conversation or in study or whatever that venue happens to be. It's in the activities of our lives, how we conduct our lives in the light of someone watching what we do and what we say and where we go and how we conduct our affairs. But more than a forerunner, Jesus was the witness and the confessor, as we hear him, as we see him confessing here, and denying not, "I am not the Christ." They're still in the prophetic mode. They hadn't thought about the office of prophecy being completed. As we know, Jesus Christ came as what? Perfect prophet, priest, and king. He fulfilled all those three offices. "So who are you then, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" Notice, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to inquire of who he was, because he must have had a bunch of people out there following him in the wilderness. Oftentimes, those that have very powerful messages are attractive to people, just by the very, oftentimes, charismatic nature of what they say and what they do. "So who do you say, what do you say of yourself?" Maybe we ask that question of ourselves this morning. What do we say of ourselves? Something to consider. Who do we say, or what do we say of ourselves in our lives? Interesting to ponder and perhaps come up with some answers to it within our own being. What did John say when they asked him, "What do you say of yourself?" He said, verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." See, all prophecies are fulfilled. Isaiah is oftentimes a real focal point or center point of our consideration during the times of Advent, because it spoke very loudly of the herald of the coming of the Messiah. "Make straight the way of the Lord, as one crying in the wilderness." So we think of wilderness in a natural way, the woods, crying in the wilderness, nobody's going to really hear us there. The wilderness of sin is what this is really speaking about, even as John is speaking the wilderness, which was the east side of the River Jordan. That was, part of what was considered civilization of that time. He was out there, people come from Jerusalem and Jericho and all the cities of Bethany and around the Sea of Galilee and go out to hear what this unusual man, eccentric by any standards of that time or this time, was doing and was saying. Remember his message, his personage, and his activity. But he brought focus to his message. He was out there eating whatever he could garner from the woods, from the wilderness. But we speak in the wilderness that we would characterize as sin. sin of this world. That's the purpose of the church, to speak to that wilderness of sin outside of Christendom. But he brought focus to his message by saying, I'm not the Messiah, but focus, witness to the Messiah, preaching repentance. He wanted to provide there's a contrast between him and Jesus the Christ. Proclaiming the advent of the kingdom of God, issuing a call to repentance. Turn again, turn from your sin. Turn again, turn from your ways. The Messiah will shortly inaugurate his ministry. Turn around your lives. That's a good message. Can be effective today, too. Telling people that there is a way to turn around your lives from the current status quo, the current situation that you have, there is a better way. That better way is following Jesus Christ. And the message was effective then, and it can be effective today. There are followers out there of John the Baptist, even when Jesus began his ministry, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, as we know. His followers, confused. Understandable that there would be confusion when they're following somebody that's very effective and powerful in his message. It's saying it's ending. Follow the Messiah. Well, I'm sure when they heard Jesus preach, watch what Jesus did, watch where Jesus went, watch who Jesus associated with, pretty soon it turned around the ship. This is the Messiah. He identified. Jesus identified with the poor. He identified with those that were in need. He identified with those that were hurting. He provided for those that needed healing. All the things that Jesus did provided witness to his personage, as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. The very identity of who Jesus Christ is even today. Herod felt threatened. Remember, this was a podunk province of Rome, right? It wasn't the center point of Roman governance or Roman interest. Go back to travel to Italy and you go to Rome, you can see the ruins there and you can get a feel for this being the center of the known world of that time. So now you travel from Rome, Italy, up through Venice and go across, you know, back over to Jerusalem and Palestine as it was, and you've got some minor governor over there, somebody who thought he was pretty high in his own mind, but in the eyes of Rome, and just take care of the province out there and don't let this insurrection come to any conclusion. And so Herod is identifying problem areas. Anybody was in a dictatorial type of governance would do. They want to suppress anything that would threaten their office, cause any kind of commotion that would result in something happening to their position. That was Herod's perspective on all this. That's why I think he might have even, or you can speculate, he had a play in this when the Jews sent people from Jerusalem down to see John the Baptist. He wanted to make sure that, you know, nothing's going to, because remember, we go back to what happened when Jesus was born. We had the mass execution of children in Bethlehem because of Herod's feeling threatened. Elijah, no, who are you? I have come to cry in the wilderness. And along with his message, along with his witness of, there is his activity. John was baptizing unto repentance, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Christian baptism inaugurated by Jesus Christ. It was to help people get a handle on themselves, get a feel for turning their ways. Baptism unto repentance, that you should turn away from the status quo, from the way things are, and follow the Messiah who I am pronouncing to you today. John could have gotten all high and mighty himself and gone beyond what his boundary conditions were. You know, we all should recognize there are limitations to things that we can do, or our skills and capabilities, or what our responsibilities are in the working world, in our lives. You know your limitations. Develop skills that expand your capability, but know your limitations. John wasn't one to go beyond that. He was pretty good with that. We see that in his life and what he says and what he does, who he points people to. I'm not worthy to take his shoelaces off. But he was helping people come to see the office and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John traditions versus Jesus traditions. John is a part of the preparation and advent of Christmas this year. It should be every year. But we look forward to the message of the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Jesus tradition. He was the herald. He was the witness too. He wasn't the Messiah. He said that very clearly. He who comes surpasses me because he was before me. Remember, the law came by who? Law came by Moses, Scripture tells us. But what came by Jesus Christ? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, verse 17, chapter 1, Gospel of John. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There's a real contrast there. Know the difference. We're on the grace and truth side of the equation, not the law side of the equation. Over the course of time, there's a lot of confusion and people having difficulty parsing that difference. We are on the grace and truth side, the gift of salvation side of the equation. You see, John is pointing everybody to the person of Jesus Christ. He is pointing everybody to listen to the preaching and the word of Jesus Christ. He is pointing everybody to see the activity of Jesus Christ. Even as we do today, considering Christmas, week off, we tend to put it on, Christmas Eve to through Christmas Day continuum, but as everyone here has had a child, all the mothers here know that you can't exactly pinpoint when that baby's going to be born. It happens when the human body allows it to take place. So when a mother is expecting, there's some contemplation of when the due date is and when that child is going to be born, but it can be plus or minus several days and plus or minus several hours. And so we like to place it nice and neatly on the 25th of December, which is only a speculative time frame of when it actually happened. Jesus Christ was born when it came to due season, when it came to the right timing. And so if you're not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, then who are you? He said, I'm simply the one who baptizes you with water. Verse 26, but there is one standing among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes laces I am not worthy to unloosen. It's a very menial responsibility when you had guests in your house for a servant to go and take off the sandals or take off the shoes, wash the feet of the guests as they enter the house. That's his contrast. He wants to be very clear in this contrast for those that were hearing him, especially the ones who would take the message back to Jerusalem, to the priests and the Levites, from the priests and Levites to the Jews, and perhaps even Herod himself. This man said he's not even worthy to be the one sitting or standing at the door with a basin of water to wash the feet, take off the shoes of the guests. A real distinct contrast and difference. One which speaks to being one who serves. I'll give John this, he was one who served. Very willingly served. He even lost his life as a result of that service. Christians are to serve rather than to be served. There's a big difference in that, to have service unto others, to service to those that are in need, reach out and assist and care for. Selflessness versus selfishness. Responsibility to self versus responsibility and care of others. He it is who's coming after me, is preferred, came before me, whose shoes, laces, I am not even worthy to unloosen. These things were done in Bethany, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And he was doing things that called people to him. He was able to pronounce the message and point them to the Messiah. Because, going back to verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus the Christ. The Word was with God, Trinity of God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The basics of Christianity. Amen.